Hey, you! Yes, you there! Is that your tummy I hear rumbling? Have you arrived home late from work only to find nothing in the fridge to eat? There's no need to worry, as look no further than the Papa John's Rugby League Pizza Range. Yes, an assortment of pizzas, baked up by our Papa John's marketing team. Do they eat our pizzas, I hear you ask? Of course they don't! They're too busy dining in Michelin-star restaurants, following their sponsorship one-sided deal of the century! So order now from a range of Rugby League pizzas, such as our deep-pan, thick-as-shit, stuck-in-the-dark-ages cheesy melt, our thin and crispy, incompetent surf and turd, and for our special occasion, why not try the Elston crust? Yes, that's right, made of spineless dough, because he's taken all the dough! Plus, if you place an order for the Elston crust delivery before midnight today, we guarantee the pizza won't turn up this side of fucking Lent! Papa John's Pizza. It's the elusive Elston Crust Pizza. Be sure not to trust.
Coming up on today's podcast, it's a tick of all the boxes following a more than satisfactory Wire performance. There's a bull in a china shop over at Rimmer's Lot. A Twitter vote that props up with influences. Have Ottawa Aces become the Warrington A-team? Due to a minority demand, tackle bags returns. Daniel rules over the rule changes. Super League marketing has pizza all over its face. Plus, we predict Warrington's clash against a Hull FC COVID-13. This is What Would Brian Bevan Say? Hello, I'm Rob London, and with Dennis having just returned from a dirty weekend away to the historical city of York, let's check in on my two pod Jorviks. First up, our very own Norseman, yes, sailing his landslip over to the shores of Super League, where he's raped and pillaged all the Warrington figures by stripping them bare of their vital statistics. It's Sam Kirk-Douglas Sankey.
Hello, good morning, Rob. How are you?
I'm very well, mate. I'm very well. And also, he's our grand old Duke of the podcast, with him marching his tackle bags 10,000 miles before repetitiously marching them back again. And when he's up, and when he's down. Although his age, without the use of his little primrose and blue pills, he's mostly down. It's Dennis, Prince Frederick Waywell.
All right.
Now, I did all that intro, Dennis, because you've been away to York this weekend. Have you had a nice time, mate?
Yes, I went on a walking tour with Mad Alice, and she brought up about the only thing in Halifax that has ever been made or is renowned for is the gibbet. And I informed her also that my ancestors invented the guillotine in France.
So nothing to do with the gibbet then?
The only thing invented in Halifax was a gibbet, but you were in York. What was that going to do?
Yeah, well, it was Yorkshire, so I just all like rolled into one, didn't it, really? I had no other anecdotes.
This is a great start, isn't it? Sam's not well. He's been a bit under the weather. I'd also like to say that I had a baby last Wednesday. Not Tony Sitaliki Akawala had a baby. I also passed a 2mm kidney stone on Wednesday evening. So I'd just like to say both father and the stone, which I've christened Pebble, are both doing well. So thanks for your support, lads, through that difficult time for me. Okay, let's crack on. Let's go through the Warrington-Wakefield game. The final score was Warrington 36, Wakefield Trinity 0. The Wire team was Stephen Ratchford, Thomas Lynham, Tobias King, Jacob Mamo, Joshua Charnley, Blake Austin, Gareth Widdop, Christopher Hill, Daryl Clark, Michael Cooper, Benjamin Curry, Jack Hughes and Jason Clark. Interchange bench was Joseph Philbin, Matthew Davis, Samuel Kabula, and Matty Ashton. Oh, sorry, got it wrong. Matthew Ashton. Attendance was a bunch of cardboard cutouts and a standing ovation from a group of fluorescent stewards. Before we review, here's DJ Bevan with the highlights.
Here's Chris Hill now. Hill with it. Warrington sweetly moving the ball to the left and opening the game. Oh, what a great step. Dummy from Toby King. and he'll get his first try of the season. Austin, little step from Blake Austin. Austin will go all the way, will he? Yes, he will. He'll stretch out and get the second try of the game. Blake Austin. Field with Standis, Austin over the top, and Chartley for the corner. Eventually, Warrington found a way through. With it to Austin, and Austin slips past the first challenge, goes past the second, heads for the post. Austin for his second of the game, and will get it. Warrington determined that their line will not be broken. Miller's little kick straight into the arms of Curry, and Curry will canter upfield. Can anybody catch him? Can anybody catch Curry? Momo is coming up in support. He won't need it. Ben Curry is going to go in under the sticks. Virtually length of the field try. His coach applauds.
Games we've seen, the best team over 80 minutes has been the Warrington Wolves, and they're not quite finished yet.
Here is Ratchford. Ratchford finding a way through, finding the pass to Davis. Oh, lovely ball, gets Austin in for his hat-trick try. That was class from Warrington.
Well, I guess we'll start with you, Sam. That first 15 minutes, we couldn't get over the try line. We had Widdop dropping a ball, and we also had Toby King pull back for a forward pass. Were you worried that first 15 minutes? Do you think we had it under control?
I wasn't worried, just the opposite, actually.
Ooh.
I thought we created two nice opportunities. I thought they were both possibly errors by Lynham. First of all, the pass back inside to Widdop, which he dropped, and then, of course, although it was King pulled back, it was from Lynham's pass. But I thought it was one of them games where I never thought we were going to be in trouble simply because Wakefield are struggling. And when I saw the attitude, and the attitude, let's say, before we get onto his positive stuff he did and his standout stuff, Blake Austin. I sent a message to my mate after 12 minutes to say, Austin already looks more switched on than he did last week. And that was with him taking, he took Jowett down with a great tackle after 2 minutes, and then he smashed Ashurst, who was going through in a crash ball after 7 minutes. And I just thought the whole team looked ready to play.
Dennis, you said straight away that he's been listening to the podcast. You gave him a right bollocking last week, Dennis, and he's come round.
Yeah, now, whether that was down to me or not, but isn't that what people need sometimes? Just a bit of a kick up the arse, and then all of a sudden, like, you know, produce a performance like that. Can't complain this week. You know, yes, I was one of the people knocking him when he was playing bad, but plaudits where they're due. I think he was due him this week. He played very well.
Well, just before we move on to that first try, I've noticed a couple of times now that Widdop and King seem to overrun each other a little bit. I mean, Widdop has scored two tries this year off King passes. He scored a try prior to the lockdown that was about 3 metres forward, and then we had the one last week against Hull KR. Again, that one he caught this week, Sam. I think, was it from Lynham that he... Was it from Toby King?
It was from Lynham, yeah.
Again, it seems like he runs on the inside, but he's right on their shoulder. He just needs to be another metre back, I think. I don't know why.
Possibly
he's thinking he's playing in the NRL and they're all a bit quicker. I don't know what's going on there.
Possibly, because he was reaching behind for it, which is why he couldn't take it in. So possibly, maybe he's a little bit quicker than he looks.
18th minute, Ratchford flicks a beautiful pass out at the back of his hand, and Toby King finds himself in space, shows and goes, and he's away to run under the post. Ratchford converts to make it 6-0. And then on the 26th minute, a trademark dummy from Austin as he gets his protractor out, and he runs a perfect handle to plant the ball down. Ratchford again on target, and it's 12-0. And then on the 32nd minute, nice move from left to right with a great cutout ball from that man Austin for Charnley, who's over in the corner. Ratchford successful from the touchline, and we go in at 18-0. It was a very clean, very competent first half, Dennis.
Yeah, I think as Sam said, with all the woes of Wakefield, it felt like Warrington had clicked into their game plan quicker than normal without the usual 20-minute panic, frantic, throw it everywhere. And basically, just stuck to the game plan, so it just seemed to just tick over. Now, when you think about it, Wakefield didn't really have that much to offer, I suppose. So maybe
they tried, though, didn't they? They didn't try.
I think they played
enthusiasm.
I thought they played well.
Enthusiasm.
You know, yeah. But you know, put under pressure from a better position team, can we repeat that performance? I don't think, you know, if you look at all the highlights of this game, there's not really a lot to pick apart about it, is there really?
There was a couple of things I noticed in particular about the way we were attacking, particularly when we were moving the ball from right to left, with initially Chris Hill taking the ball to the line, but then passing to Widdop, Widdop then on to Ratchford, Ratchford then on to King, and then Philbin took the ball to the line, but before actually getting the line, passed it to Widdop, Widdop again to Ratchford, Ratchford to King. They made another 30 metres, and we've seen the prop forwards, saw Cooper do it once as well, the prop forwards taking 5 or 6 metres and then throwing it out, Widdop picking it up, Ratchford coming in on that curved run he does and creating the extra man. Whether that's something they've been working on or whether it was because Wakefield were a slightly lesser opposition, I don't know.
Someone commented, I can't remember who it was, but said that Widdop and Austin were no longer playing on left and right. They seem to be a bit more amalgamated in the way they went about their attack yesterday. Mm. Widdop seems to be moving. You know, Widdop's busy all the time. He's constantly busy and he's a real nuisance. You know, it doesn't always work for him, but he's always looking for the ball or wants the ball.
I think I noticed it more with Austin, actually. I agree with you that Widdop's always sniffing around. If there's a half break, he's there, isn't he?
Yeah.
But I did notice that on 2 or 3 occasions early on, Austin found himself on the left, which is something we've not seen for a while. I didn't notice so much Widdop going towards the right. But I did see Austin roaming a little bit more, which was good.
Mm. Well, it carried on in the second half. We had 3 tries in the first half, and we get 3 tries in the second half as well. 46 minute, Austin in again. From about 40 out, Wakefield defender runs up too quickly, and Austin does that big right foot step, followed by another big right foot step, and he races under the sticks. Ratchford cannot miss, and it's 24-0. And then on the 71st minute, Sam, you got your box of tissues out as Wakefield's Miller kicking straight into the arms of Mr. Curry, who sprints the length of the pitch to score under the black dot. Ratchford, he could have put it over blindfold, couldn't he? It's 30 points to nil. Come on, Sam, tell us about it. Just how sweaty and moist did you become?
Very. Oh. In all seriousness, he nearly got away in the first half as well with a similar run, didn't he?
That is practice run.
Yeah, he's practiced one. He managed to get up to halfway. A couple of stats on Big Ben for you, if you like, because I think it was a Vindaloo performance. Both him and Jack Hughes did the full 80, which is something that gives us a huge boost. But one try, 36 tackles, no missed tackles, 235 metres run. And 3 tackle breaks. I mean, in the try, he didn't have to break a tackle. He just ran through a big hole in their defence. But yeah, excellent performance. And although he's not lightning anymore, he's still got plenty of pace to outstrip the defence there over 85 metres.
Dennis, I thought you made a very good point the other week in saying that you're very happy with Ben Curry now on his new salary. You like him again. You just think that it all fits together now.
Well, yeah, I think if, you know, you've got to look at the whole team as a balance. And I think, you know, like it's almost like the pressure's off him a bit now because there's not the expectation of, like, you know, a star player on a, you know, a big wedge of the salary cap. So now it's a case of, I think he can relax. And what he gives us is certainly, you know, good all-round sort of performance from his point of view, I suppose. Yeah, I think it's good to have him now. I'd almost agree with Sam, but probably wouldn't get as
well. Don't go too far, Dennis. Don't go too far. I thought Westerman was slow. Westerman was looking at his feet. When he was like, oh, for fuck's sake. He sort of had that look on his face, didn't he? That just said, I'm not going to chase him down. One person I thought was rapid was Mamo. Mamo came from nowhere.
Yeah,
He's quick. Just talking about Mamo for a second then. I thought he had another very good game. I thought he's again, he's busy. He tackles well, certainly tackles above his weight. He runs the ball back. He's just not quite getting the breaks. But I'm under the belief now that it's up to Gelling to try and get his place back. I don't think they can drop Mamo. I think Mamo's done enough to keep that position. And I'd be upset if Price puts Gelling back in with all what's going on with Gelling and everything else. I think Mamo's a better centre at the moment. Would you agree with that?
I think we should get the stats on how many mistakes Mamo made, because I don't think he made any, did he? You know, if you compare that stat to Gelling, that's the bit that you're missing.
It is. I mean, Mamo, I feel, always brings energy and enthusiasm, but occasionally can be a bit erratic, so the three E's there. Yesterday, 14 runs, 129 metres. Let's see whether we've got any errors on there.
You know, you're astounding now a bit, Sam. Did you watch the cricket yesterday? They had Andy Zaltzman doing the stats from the bunker.
Yes.
And he was, just a second.
Two missed tackles. Two missed tackles, one error.
Pretty good then.
Mamo.
Pretty good. Based on the fact that you're a little bit under the weather today, Sam, how many of yous would it take to sort of have that same energy as Mamo? Are we looking about six or seven Sam Sankeys to?
Probably nine.
No.
Nine. Yeah. I noticed 6 and 9 were used there. 69. Very good.
Excellent. 76-minute Ratchford makes the break. Quick hands to Davis, quick hands to Austin, and he's in under the sticks for his hat-trick. Ratchford completes his 100% conversion rate with 6 out of 6. Final score, Wire 36. Trinity zip, zilch, nothing. Sum it up then, boys. Have we had a better performance this year than that one yesterday?
Possibly St. Helens, given the standard of the opposition. But everything just felt nice. I thought we played a very good first half. After Austin scored in the second, we then went a bit scrappy for 20 minutes. But we scored some lovely tries, and we could have scored, with a little bit of luck, scored a couple more. I think a couple of people to pick out other than who we've already spoke of. Chris Hill, 0 penalties again.
I really like, you know, I've always liked Chris Hill. In particular, I like his plumbing business as well. Just going to get that in now. Not that we've got a new sponsor for the podcast coming up, lads, but I've always thought Chris Hill does a wonderful job both on the park and in the bathroom.
What's it called?
Hang on.
What's it called?
They haven't given us any money yet. Not going to read out what the calls are.
Josh Charnley. 1 try, 18 carries for 165 metres. He was strong coming off the line. We'll come on to Blake Austin in a minute. But Sammy Kabula, interesting on your thoughts with him. 17 tackles, 1 missed, 7 runs, 55 metres, 1 error, 1 offload, 1 penalty. He's a big lad, and I think he made a promising first 10 minutes.
I put my poster up, Sam. That first carry he did, where he just flicked it out. I had the poster on the wall. It took a lot of blue tack to put it up, but within about 5 minutes after he did that dying swan impression, where he gave a penalty away, I took it back down. Have you got the stats on those 17 tackles that he made? How many were round the legs as third man coming in?
Yes. The longer he was on the pitch, the slower he was getting, wasn't he? I did notice he was struggling with the pace just to get back into line. But he's 21. He's physically got it, hasn't he? It's whether
I missed his meters game. What was it again?
55 meters from 7 carries.
I did think watching Wigan play the day before, and their number 19, who's the young lad, and I thought straight away, they've kept the good one. They've known which one to give away.
Well, yeah, what we don't know is how long it takes them to develop, and that's what can be a cruel game. We do seem, and not just Warrington, but over on this side of the planet compared to you down under, when they come in at 18 in the NRL, they all seem big lads and ready, don't they? Where they seem to be still developing over this side.
He's a funny shape. You know who he reminds me of a little bit? Do you remember when Les Dawson used to have those dancers? And he had the big lady who was very good on her feet. She was very light. I think she was a ballerina originally. Reminds me of her.
I know. I was at the Hepworth Museum yesterday, and Henry Moore does his sculptures in a very similar way. It's very like, you know, massive torso.
Yes.
And a little head on top. Yeah.
A bit like Aladdin. That sort of, when Aladdin comes out of the genie, it's all top half, isn't it? And Yeah. Nothing else. One person who I thought had a very good game and I've not actually seen before was the referee. I couldn't fault that ref. I thought he had a very good job, and I thought he's going to get a little bit more firmer in his calls. It was just a few where they were trying to question him, but he kept to his guard.
I thought a couple of times he could easily have called for six again. I don't think we're calling that as much as down under, but I've not got the stats to back that up. They'll be coming next week. But what I did like, on one occasion, he gave offside, and the player obviously said, "Was it me?" He went, "Yeah, you were miles off." He just very much reminded me of Steve Ganson. "Yeah, miles off you, mate. Get back in line."
Have you written to him yet?
Yeah, how are we going? We're moving on with that, aren't we? We're moving on.
I've had a reply from the Rugby League.
I'm so excited. Yeah. There's so much going on the podcast at the moment. We heard from Ralph Rimmer yesterday. Ralph Rimmer's keen to come on. It's all happening, isn't it? So, are we all in agreement, Austin, man of the match?
Well, before we all get too excited, I'm going to use one of Sam's cravats here. He basically has probably used his signature. What was it? His quick step move.
Joker.
Yeah. Is that because everybody's forgotten about it? Because it's been so long since he actually used it, a year and a lot.
Well, you know what? There is a big call about Austin. This was what they used to talk about here in Australia, was that Austin goes missing in the big games. Mm. When it gets tight, he doesn't quite have that step. The better players work that step out very quickly. And I guess with every player, it's harder to break gaps when it's a harder game.
Quite possibly.
I'm waiting for him to turn up in a big game.
Yes, that's what I mean. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he has done it on a couple of occasions, but you mean when it really matters? I remember Anfield last year; he exploded, didn't he?
Yeah, but that's party day, isn't it? Anfield day. I want to see it in a semi-final. That's where I want to see it. I want to see him stand up in a semi-final.
Yesterday, there is another tries. Three tries, one try assist, 22 tackles, missed three, but 9 tackle busts, and to quote our ridicule friend Phil Clark.
Yeah,
I'm going to quote word for word. I think it sums up what we were saying about him.
I might already have this, but I'm glad if you're going to bring this up. Go on.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure what's happened since we last watched Warrington play, but there's been a complete change to Blake Austin. He's smiling at the end of this try, and he's been smiling throughout the game. And it almost does seem he was interested yesterday and switched on, whereas last week he was just aimlessly wandering around.
Sulking.
Yeah, and he does seem to be a streaky player like that. When he's good, he's very good. Can't argue.
The other good thing about it is maybe that we might be seeing here is that he's learning something off Widdop. On the last try, in the last sort of few minutes, he was on the shoulder. Whereas, like, you look at the rest of the game, Widdop was always on the shoulder of anyone who made a bit of a break, this, that and the other, guiding him in for a try. But at least, maybe Austin's learning that part of a game and making sure he's there.
And we can't expect 3 tries every week off him. We would be stupid to say that. But we want him to be there and be interested and switched on.
We put the vote out on Twitter. How would you rate Flaky Blake's performance? We gave 4 options: a full flake, Cadbury's chocolate finger, Toblerone or chocolate matchstick. 64% went full flake. Cadbury's chocolate finger got 16%. Toblerone got 19%. And someone voted for chocolate matchstick with 1%.
Isn't Toblerone out of them the more expensive and higher quality chocolate?
Someone also wrote, a finger of fudge is just enough to give your kids a treat. That was Gareth Monkey. By the way,
someone from our generation.
We played the anthem track Delirium over the highlight reel. Dennis, were you delirious with the Sky commentary?
Well, as always, here's an interesting bit. This week we had our computer Lottie running off a server in Dubai. She was running the WWBBS facial recognition software for the number of times incorrect players' names were used. But she gave up after 20 minutes and we lost all the count. Although it was very clear that Toby King was being referenced as George King on numerous occasions throughout that by the Sky commentary team. A couple of other notable points. Phil Clark has already been mentioned by Mr. Sankey. He said about Austin, "I think he goes faster when he changes direction, which is almost impossible. So I don't understand what he was trying to say there. So
he is from Wigan, Dennis.
Bill Arthur, he came out with Charnley hasn't managed to get over the score sheet tonight. I think he did score, Charnley, didn't he?
Yeah, he did score.
Jenna Brooks, very interestingly, pointing out when trying to interview one of the guys who twisted his ankle with ice on his ankle. He's got ice on his ankle. And then Barry McDermott, probably my favourite, on 7 minutes. It's been 7 minutes of both teams completing their sets, but Warrington have dropped it twice. So excellent analysis there. So yeah, thumbs up to the Sky Sports team, and hopefully we'll be making this a regular slot now with a jingle in the future that will hopefully point out their accurate and superb commentary team, especially after what Rob produced the other week about our favourite commentators for our game.
One thing we did miss at the end was Chris Hill had a strapping on the back of his leg with some ice.
Oh. The phone's going. Is that someone from
Sky? That's Ralph Rimmer, probably. He's coming on soon. So get that. Well, if Chris Hill is injured, will we see Leilani Latu? Has Leilani Latu still waiting for his work visa?
It would seem so, wouldn't it? No, he's available. He's available. But can I get this right?
He is an overseas signing, isn't he?
He is an overseas signing.
And correct. He counts on the overseas... Yeah? He counts as an overseas player? Yeah.
Not sure about that, because I'm not sure whether he's a Colpack type player.
A what? What is he?
What?
Who?
A what?
One of the developing nations. I don't know whether he classes as Australian or whether he's a South Sea Islander.
Excellent, yeah.
The defence lawyer for Tommy Makinson argues Tommy was only testing for the wattage of Liam Watt's bulbs. Blake Austin is nominated for an Olivier Award after his Headingley stage performance of Bambi. And astronomers solve the mystery of the recent Cheshire solar eclipse. Following the discovery, Steve Broomhead was sunbathing on his rooftop terrace.
Well, we've had the headlines, now on to the stories. Wolves' Ben Murdoch-Masilla was handed a two-match penalty notice. He missed Wye's game against Wakefield. He also missed the match against Hull. This was a result of a grade C high tackle on Huddersfield Giants' Matty English. Pretty much fair, wasn't it, in the end, two matches? You thought at one stage Sammy might get three, did you?
Well, I said I thought it would be a grade C, which carries a 2-3 match penalty, but he got a two. He got a two-match penalty. Band, didn't he? And look, we disagreed on it last week, but we didn't disagree that he hit him on the head. We disagreed whether it was deliberate or not, and that doesn't really matter whether it's deliberate. He hit him in the head.
He's having another go here, Dex. He's trying to sneak in. He's sneaking. Listen, he's, I know, isn't he?
You know what? Actually, on my iPad, I've slowed it down, and I can send it to you. That Matty English, a second and a half before impact, closed his eyes. Now, if you're going to run with your eyes shut, you're going to get hurt. So actually, I'm now blaming Matty English for this.
Oh. What will be interesting, and I've only seen it once because I wasn't really watching the whole game yesterday. It was on in the background, is they got...
Hang on. You're part of the What Would Brian Bevan Say podcast. You can't come out with that, Sam. You can't say you're only watching it in the background.
We're watching the whole game.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Yeah. Fenua flattened one of theirs and got thimbined, didn't he? Now, it'll be interesting to see whether they think that was his fault or whether the player ran onto him and ducked. It'd be interesting.
What about that dirty little prick at Wigan with his head? Kept going in with his head a couple of times on one of the Castleford players. He's got to be up for that as well, surely, I would think. Right, Warrington loose forward Ellis Robson has joined the Ottawa Aces, following in the footsteps of Wire former players Pat Moran and Sam Wild. Robson came through the academy at the Wolves, but never made a first-team appearance. He went on loan spells to Dewsbury, Rochdale Hornets, as they used to say on BBC Radio Manchester, and Widnes. But not to be outdone, ex-Wire player Jack Johnson has also signed for the Aces, making it five former Wire players now set to play in Canada for the Ottawa Aces. It's turning into the Warrington A-team, this, isn't it? When I used to go and watch the A-team in the late 70s and 80s, I never thought they'd start playing in Ottawa. I mean, it's. I mean, we don't really want any of them back, do we? But
no. We've not seen them, have we? Really, to enough of them as.
Nope.
Oh, for fuck's sake!
Who's it on now?
Going to piss off.
I tell you what, I will. It might be Steve Gampson. That.
Challenge Cup quarter-final between Wire and Saints will be played on Saturday the 19th of September at 2:30 p.m. with the game live on BBC One. It's going to be a great game, that, isn't it? Both teams are in good form. It's going to be a good one. Yes, Rob, it is. Super League have struck a pathetic sponsorship with Papa John's Pizzas, the pizza powerhouse, getting matchday advertising on touchline billboards as well as acknowledgement at the start of the Super League video content. Papa John's will not be paying Super League. I'll just repeat that. Papa John's will not be paying Super League for the huge amount. I'll just repeat that as well. The huge amount of advertising, but instead the players and the matchday staff, you won't believe this, will be getting free pizza. The competition's chief commercial officer, Rodra Jones, as we have seen since the restart, Betfred Super League games are getting faster and harder. And I know the players are grateful when they see so many pizzas to choose from after 80 minutes. Jesus Christ.
Right. Let's just look at this. Doing a bit of research here. Went into livestrong.com. I was looking at the nutrition of pizzas. Apparently, it's not the best option for sports people. So that's just one thing. So
if you have a look. Sherlock.
Yeah. Papa John's pepperoni, 14-inch per slice of a pizza, 38 grams of carbs and only 12 grams of protein. It's obviously well known that you use protein for after sporting events. Men's Health didn't appear anywhere in the top 10 of healthiest pizzas. Pizza Hut was number one. And another one called Papa Murphy's. Don't know if it's a subsidiary or just a competing one. But anyway, getting over to the Manchester Evening News, they rated the chains of pizzas in and around the Northwest. Pizza Hut came variety and presentation and taste. They came out of 5 out of 10, 6 out of 10. Papa John's, 8 out of 10, 7.5 out of 10. And Domino's, 7 out of 10 and 7 out of 10. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? I mean, tells you nothing about pizzas. But one thing it did get me to look at is the obesity rates and statistics from the UK government. There was a paper produced. And interestingly enough, north of the River Warrington came out as one of the highest places in the country for obesity. So a really good move by a sport like rugby league to associate itself with a very unhealthy food stuff. Says it all.
Shocking, isn't it? 65% of people in Warrington are obese.
Although looking at the menu at the minute, they've got a limited edition vegan all day breakfast.
Oh, pizza. I'd be fine then. I'd be all right. I'll have that one.
A vegan chili freak.
Does it worry you that this bloke is in charge of our next big deal?
Yeah,
Elston.
I mean, they seem to think, you know, I've heard people on, you know, certain podcasts say,
oh, no, don't worry, it's a country deal. It's a country deal, this. It'll be all right, so don't worry. Leading forward in next year, it'll be fine.
No, it won't be fine because the marketing team at Papa John's are clued up. They're educated and are clued up. And they're not going to pay shithouse for any advertising next year.
Yeah,
because they've had it free. And if there's any other sponsor out there that's thinking of doing a deal with Sky Sports, they're going to look at the rugby league now and think, oh, well, they come cheap.
Yeah,
we don't need to pay any money for this deal anymore. I just find it ridiculous.
Even if it was a small amount, it would be paying something, wouldn't it? But it's just that zero. It just...
Has anybody found out anything about Robert Elston yet? I mean, I know I sent out, I found it on Twitter. It was the Robert Elston out Twitter group for Everton that had quite a lot of fans.
Tens of thousands.
Yeah. I haven't found anything else on him. He is like always absent, isn't he?
He's the invisible man.
When he joined the Super League, I do work with a lad who is he's obsessed Everton fan. And he didn't have a good word to say about him. And he said, you try and find an Everton shirt anywhere in Asia, because he did some deal that was absolutely useless. And now he's signing fucking pizza up for free. Question, which Warrington member is set to eat the most free pizza post-game? Oh, yeah. We gave four options. We had Ben Murdoch-Masilla, Philbin, Lee Breers and Steve Broomhead. Steve Broomhead won the vote with 38%. Surprisingly, in second place was Lee Breers with 25%. Ben Murdoch Masilla just the 1% behind on 24%. And we had Philbin on 13%. Now, straight away, hats off to the professor. He wrote to the podcast. He said, thanks. Please send me my Domino's season ticket. And also, thanks for all your fantastic support for The Wire during this health shit. He wrote, so
it was an emoji. He didn't actually write shit, did he?
No. Okay, sorry. During this health emoji shit, emoji thumbs up, emoji rugby ball.
Yes. So.
Yeah.
So he took it in good. He took it in good. Good humour, didn't he?
He did. Jackson Hastings, James Gavitt, and Wolves Riley Dean have received 14-day bans for breaching the RFL COVID-19 protocols. According to a statement released by the RFL, the sanctions were handed out for breaching the RFL's COVID protocols following addition to the operational rules in response to the current exceptional situation, whatever that means. The ban is imposed from the date of each transgression, which means Hastings' sanction for an incident on the August the 7th was served by August the 21st. You can't make this up, can you? You just can't make this shit up. I mean, we've had the pizza. And now we're banning people that have already played two games since.
Yeah.
It's a bit strange, isn't it? Well, we had Madden Boyd predicting about Luther Burrell as well. He wasn't on the roster, was he, in the squad yesterday for the match. He was absent. What's happening there?
He's been absent on Instagram as well. It's almost as if something's happened. Interesting.
Strange, that one.
It has also been brought to my attention, Dennis, that in episode 4 of the podcast this year, you swore 10 times and are currently serving a 21-day ban.
Okay. Yeah. Have I passed it now?
You've already gone past it, so just carry on. It's fine.
Excellent.
It's all fine. Sam, have you ever seen anything like that? I mean, you know, if you're up for murder and you're not found for 7 years, when you go up in front of the judge, they don't say, well, you know, you're going to prison for 20 years, but you've already served 7 out at Papa Pizza's fucking restaurant. What a load of bollocks.
He's on one today, Dennis, isn't he? I agree. What I hope...
Is our legal statement coming?
No, what I hope is what's gone on in the last week and a bit. And we've not yet mentioned Wakefield's stance with David Fifita.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah. What I hope is that this will be a near miss for rugby, because we've had some testing positive, but it'd be a near miss, and actually people take a little bit more seriously and a little bit more responsibility for their actions going forward. And hopefully, fingers crossed, because we'll need a bit of luck, hopefully we won't have as much disruption going forward.
Rugby league will not be one of the pilot events. It hasn't been chosen. The games that have been chosen are football, basketball, rugby union, cricket, speedway and horse racing. So pretty everything else but rugby league. Do you think this has something to do with obesity? Do you think they've sort of looked at it and thought, hang on.
That's a good point.
I'm just wondering if that is, you that are is good, the aren't reason.
You? You're not just a pretty ugly face, are you?
I think it's the kidney stone. I've not been this angry since about episode 2 of series 1.
I know.
Would you want to go back, Sam, at the moment? Would you want to sit there in the stand with everyone coughing and spluttering away?
I've been out and about a few times, and usually outside. I've been places where I've felt completely safe and completely people around me being considerate, and I've popped into the market in town to get something earlier in the week as well. And I tell you what, in the market, you wouldn't think there was anything going on because everyone's mixing and mingling and stood next to each other in queue. And I'm thinking, two completely different setups here to where I was yesterday. So if you're spaced out and if there's only a couple of thousand people, I think it could work. Whether that's economically viable going forward, I don't know.
And that's a Sam Sankey's shopping trip here on What Would Brian Bevan Say? Lovely.
Dennis, could you take over for a bit? Because I need to go and have a lie down. I've got myself my blood pressure's come up after that last bit, that last rant. So if you could just take over for 5 minutes, that'd be wonderful.
Keep going. Just keep going. Stop. Don't worry yourself.
83 Super League appearances for Wyre, scoring 11 tries and kicking 101 goals. But Dick Patton's contract is coming to an end. He's been offered up to other clubs. We've said it before now, Dennis. We really think he needs another 10 games before they make this bold decision.
10 games with who now, I think, is the question. I think we've managed to, ride the storm out, as it were. When you look at someone like Wakefield who is struggling, I mean, surely you could just like stick him on loan there or something. Couldn't you help him out?
Yeah, I'm going to be nice to Declan today, because I know I was heavily critical of him last season. But on reflection, it wasn't really him I was critical of. It was all the people who were telling us that he was the future of our club and he was a genius. And no, he just tries hard. He's not quite good enough for top Super League, but he will, when he eventually goes, he'll leave with a Challenge Cup winner's medal, because he played scrum half when we beat St. Helens and he scored a try in a grand final. So good luck to him. Wherever he ends up, good luck to him.
Yeah. Yes, fair enough. We have got still a bit of merchandise we need to get rid of. All stocks must go, so we have reduced all the prices of the merchandise for Dick Patton. If you want to get in touch with the podcast, we've got the T-shirts with the slogan "Give Dick Patton another 10 games at one size fits all" at a staggering bargain price of $49.95. So I'll put you down for a couple of those, Sam. That's all right with you. We've got the duvet covers left with the picture of young Dick playing the ball into touch against Wakefield. For $79.95. Can I just point out that excludes the pillowcase, because we've had a few orders and a few people getting a little bit annoyed about that. And also with a lot of people camping this year and staying in the UK, you can also buy the portable pattern camping commode with the toilet lid doubling up as a drum with the acoustical notes changing tone dependent on how big your shit is. So I've actually got a price on that because I've not actually...
Good stocking fillers, because it's coming up to Christmas. It's September tomorrow. Yeah.
Okay, now last time out, he brought you not only Steve Price's attacking and defensive statistics, but also ventured from his abacus by audaciously delving into Dennis's domain and bringing us psychological profile of the Warrington coach. So with him severely reprimanded and told to set sail on his nautical course of numerical coordinates only, it's over to...
Statistics, caveats, bollocks. Listen up, you norms, it's time for Sam to talk shite. For 5 minutes. It's Sam Sankey's shitistics. No. Dick's data. No. Anal cyst. No. Twat stats. No. Statistics. Yes. That's it. It's time for Sam Sankey's statistics.
Well, yes, I've got two things for you today. Two things for you. In a minute or two, I'm going to bust the myth that Super League is faster and harder with these new rule changes.
Oh.
But first of all...
Did you say busk or bust?
Bust. I'm going to pop that balloon.
Looking forward to that guitar.
First of all, just a quick revisit of some of the social media that's been out over the last week. It's been would have been normally Challenge Cup final over the bank holiday weekend, and so looking back over the new Wembley finals where we've been very successful, just wanted to ask you how many Warrington born players scored at the new Wembley?
At the new Wembley,
remember them? Yeah, we've had one of them on the show,
Steve Anderson. Right, so Chris Riley, he's one.
Yep.
Who else has
one scored last year against St. Helens?
Joe Philbin.
Mm-hmm. We've got a lad who's playing at Salford.
I like you giving us clues here. I like this, isn't it? Who's playing at Salford at the? McCarthy.
Tyrone McCarthy.
Did he score?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One other Warrington-born player scored at the new Wembley.
At the new Wembley.
New Wembley.
Oh, it's tricky, this, isn't it?
I don't know.
There's listeners shouting.
A bit of a trick.
Oh, go on. Oh, is it
a bit of a trick?
Yeah, go on. Who was it?
Joel Tompkins, born in Warrington. There you go. And prior to that, the previous person to score who was Warrington born in a Challenge Cup final was actually Jim Challoner in the 1954 replay.
They always say in Australia there's only ever two Australians that have scored in an FA Cup final. Do you know who they are?
Oh, one who played for Everton.
Craig Johnson, yeah. Maybe.
And the other one played for Tottenham. Ozzie Ardiles.
Yeah. Go on.
Very good. Very good. Forget it, Sam. Move on.
Right. So I'm going to bust the myth that Super League, faster and harder. You'll probably have all seen that. In fact, I think we've got some stats brought to you by Rob London early in the week on Twitter, that they're saying that pre-lockdown, that total run metres were 2,435 per game, and now they're 2,800, and that the ball is now in play for nearly 10 minutes longer. It was pre-lockdown 53 minutes in play, post-lockdown 63 minutes in play. Okay, well, I've looked at these figures and looked at the truth behind them.
This is why he gets the big money, Dennis.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
Yeah, I'm on the edge of my seat as well.
Last year, the ball was in play on average 52 minutes per game, and we did 2,473 metres. That's 47.5 metres per minute.
Right.
Since lockdown, the ball's been in play 63 minutes per match, 2,854. That's only 45 metres per minute. So whilst we're getting more metres, we're getting less metres per minute. And I'm going to say it's diluting the quality of the game. So be careful what you wish for, because you'll just get more average.
Yes, absolutely.
You are like Carol Vorderman, the way you came. You snatched that from nowhere, didn't you?
Yeah. Yes.
Bloody good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It wasn't quite made clear, but you could easily read into it. On the BBC the other week, they had John Wilkin talking about it, I think with Mark Chapman, saying that, you know, the ball's in play an extra 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And they suggested that the reason was because this six again. But the six again is only averaging out at 4 6 agains during a game. You know, you just said before, there's a few more in the NRL. And as they showed on BBC, I think it was 36 seconds that it lasted, that, you know, if it did kick the ball into touch. The other 8 minutes is coming from the scrums. It's not coming from the six again.
Yeah.
And no one's brought that up. They all keep going on about all this extra 10 minutes. Because it's not. It's because the ball's not. We've not got scrums.
Well, even whether it be scrums or whether it be six, you know, these penalties, then, isn't there? And even you mentioned it a few weeks ago, Rob, about six again. We're seeing six again given when the opposition are 30 metres out from the post, whereas a penalty would have been given, and they might have chosen to kick for goal. So there's another minute wasted with the ball not in play.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if I mentioned this on the podcast last week, but my dad reckons that all the prop forwards are now just, once they take that penalty, they all just stand in a line. You know, when the scrum's not being taken, everyone's a lot more sort of evenly balanced across the field. So it takes them about four plays before they actually get going, before they get into the corner where the ball would have been. But
I think it's too early to say that this is a faster and harder game. There's just more of it. And if we're not careful, it'll just get diluted and just become simply six drives and a kick. And that'll be all we've got in the game. Just need to be careful.
Very, very boring.
Well, never mind six again. Would you go twice to the National Museum, Dennis?
Yeah, definitely.
And time now for Rimmer's Lot at the home of the National Rugby League Museum. Hopefully, now with the lockdown far behind us, more appropriate productions for BBC Two will be coming along shortly. Although my husband and I are looking forward to getting away from the telly and heading back to our villa in Provence. We're just waiting for the vaccine to come along, and I'll be the first to put my hand up for that tiny needle. Besides, it cannot be any more uncomfortable than my husband's little prick. He's always up my chunnel when crossing to France.
Oh, I think you've got it, Ben. Down the middle. Yeah, down the middle. That's right. Show a little bit of resilience. Now down the middle. Down the middle again. And then attach the blind-shotted adapter to finish it off, going high across the coving to the far corner.
Yeah, I think I got it, bro. Shall I put a bit more shoulder behind it too, Stevie?
Oh, excellent, Stevie. You finished the Ben Murdoch Masala's vacuuming training, I see. Oh, and don't forget to dust carefully the new RFL 20th Century Bone China Dinner Service exhibition. And be careful around the Royal Pemberton Morris Lindsay Florida Humboldt Tart crockery set. We had to bribe more than one person and pay under the counter payments to get hold of that.
No worries, Rolfie. Well, this Hoover's Buckley's, mate. Couldn't we score sponsorship from Dyson?
No. Alas, we couldn't land the deal with Dyson, I'm afraid, Stevie. They only associate their products and affiliated marketing with professional outfits. Quite frankly, if you jump on the player's social media Instagram, I'm surprised we didn't end up with just a U-bank. Anyway, it's nearly the end of Mr. Masala's shift, Stevie. Did you sort him out with a prayer mat? You know, he was extremely critical of the cleanliness of our Andrew Papa John's canteen floor.
Oh, I just couldn't find it, Rolfie. So I've used a bit of versatility. I've used the antique Eddie-wearing trench coat.
Oh, that's great. You know, I'm so pleased Ben's taken to his chores. Now, whatever you do, don't mention that Dirty Bird outfit Kentucky Fried Chicken. I've ordered a takeaway, and the last thing we need to do is trigger Benjamin on running rampage through the museum like a headless rooster.
Rooster? Isn't he off to play for the Warriors?
Oh, is everything all right, Benjamin? I hear you're doing a lovely job. Don't forget, with your work in here, you get a free concession to the RFL Advanced Fitness Gymnasium. And if you look over there, we have a lovely rowing machine donated by Dave Wood's ex-wife.
Oh, Jesus, bro. Looks like a rusty old piece of shit.
Oh, that's no way to talk about Stevie.
I was thinking, could I get a snack around here, bro? I'm a little bit hungry. Is there anywhere around here I could get some fish and chips? I always eat after sex.
After sex?
Yeah, sex.
Oh, no, I'm heterosexual. And I can assure you that time at the 40-20 Christmas party was a one-off with Phil Kaplan.
Right, big fella. Should we go and finish off polishing those plates? You're gonna need to use the Tommy Makinson cloths. A guaranteed cleaning ease with every squeeze.
Yeah, no problem, bro. When do we get supper in here?
Oh, hello, young man. May I have BO's assistance?
Oh, hello. I have a delivery for Ralph Dimmer.
Oh, yes, that's me. Are you Luber Eats?
Yes, goodness gracious, that's me. I have an order for a 12-inch broomhead hot dog with a special order here. Aka Wallace sausage.
Oh, that's okay. You need not read any more. We don't want a ruckus.
Ta-da for now, and don't forget to post me a fucking review.
Ah, there you are, gentlemen. Have you finished polishing the Alex Murphy crystal colon conical flask?
No worries, bro. It's all done. Oh, shit, a brick. What's that sucker smell? Is that a hot dog for me?
Not quite, Benjamin, but I do have your favourite. But let's go to the canteen first. If you could please take one of the gold leaf Moran serviettes. We don't want to get any of the grease near the locker cup 24-piece wire-woven crockery set.
Hang on, Rolfie. Before we do that, can I empty the Hoover bag first?
Oh, what's that shiny gold ticket you've sucked up, Stevie?
It's an all-you-can-eat voucher from some drive-through, some truck shop at Hartshead Motorway Services on the M62.
Oh, and what's it called?
Ken's Truck and Fries Chicken.
Did someone just say chicken?
Oh, chuckle sacks. Oh, come back, Benjamin. You've forgotten your bobble.
Over now to Jonathan Ross.
Each week, this is the longest 6 minutes of my life.
Come on.
When I have to listen to this shite.
Although, come on.
Although, I have to say, I use a Shark Hoover. It's got excellent suction. Excellent suction. In fact, it sucks harder than
Divine
Brown. One for the
Are you measuring that?
Did you just mention a prostitute on the show, Sam?
Okay. I just mentioned an incident in Hugh Grant's... she was a girl just stood in front of me wanting to offer her services.
Give him a blowing.
So, you know, this Rimmer's Lot now has its own audience, and actually people are only tuning into the podcast for the Rimmer's Lot segment, Sam.
What are your highlights? Is it Dignitas doing that?
We are currently in negotiations for getting a very special guest on Rimmer's Lot in episode 12. So,
episode 12.
Someone is a fan at the RFL. That's all I'm saying, Sam. Someone's a fan at the RFL.
Episode 12. Can you not just come on next week and then we can kill him off like JR?
And time now for the Twitter vote. Is that it? Is that all I have to say? That one line? I have to say more in lockdown letters. This is so insulting.
Well, obviously, we don't know the results of the election yet, but what we do know is that about 4 in 10 of us probably didn't even bother to vote. Pollsters have a name for people like this. They call them morons.
Oh, that's ridiculous. Why did Paxman get the big line? This is utter horseshit.
Yes, it's on to the Twitter vote. The question was, who is Warrington's best prop forward? We gave four options: Chris Hill, Mike Cooper, Joe Philbin, and Sitaliki Akawala. There was a clear winner. I think we all probably would have voted for this guy, and that was Mike Cooper. He got 60% of the vote. Chris Hill only got 14%, Joe Philbin on 24%, and Akawala just on the 2%. I guess what this vote's not, it's not saying that we want to get rid of Chris Hill, because we're not asking the question, you know, who we want to get rid of. It's just who's the best prop we think it is. And at the moment, it seems to be Mike Cooper. You're very close to putting a poster on your wall of Mike Cooper, Dennis. Has it gone up this week?
I don't think I'll be putting a poster up. But what I'd like to say about Chris Hill is that I think, as Sam's already pointed out, his stats are actually improving. And he might be as a result of him doing less minutes. I mean, in the Wakefield game, he did a lot fewer minutes anyway in that game, I think. Than normal, and I think that does suit him. So I think that's going to work well for us in the coming years, and as he finishes his career. So I like that bit. I think Hill's again another good one to stay in the team. Cooper is almost like a year or two behind him, and if he follows the same sort of like profile, it's like one of them curves in it in business, you know, where it plateaus and then it goes off. So that's good. What's happened to Akawala? Does Price not like him? He seems to
he's on paternity leave, Dennis.
Is he? Why?
Well, why do you think you'd be on paternity leave, you fucking knob?
They're not exactly... but it's not like normal work, is it?
You know, nine months ago, he didn't forecast through and say, you know what, I'll have just had 4 months off, so we'll get back to work and I'll have another couple of weeks, did he?
Hey, I tell you what, Sam, you could do some stats. So you could work out what night the conception was. Have a look at that. See if he was playing on there. He had a good game or something that night. Chris Hill, he is still a very good prop, but I think really Premier Plumbing Limited is where his future lies. But all aspects of plumbing work undertaken and all work. What? Oh, no.
You've not had the money in yet.
Sorry. The other question was, who on current form is Warrington's most influential player? Surprising, I thought, based on current form, that 55% went for Daryl Clark, only 7% for Gareth Widdop. He'd have got my vote. Stephen Ratchford on 35, and Flaky Blake only on 3%. This vote was put out before the Wakefield game. Most influential player on current form. Let's just do it from since we've come back to playing rugby after the lockdown. I'd have gone Ratchford or Widdop, Sam.
Yeah, I would have voted for Ratchford if I'd have voted that one. Daryl Clark last year, I'd have gone with, but yeah, current form. But I think with every week, we've seen Widdop improve his influence in the team. And as we say, we've already discussed it in detail, Austin some weeks is the whole team and other weeks he's disappeared. He's very up and down into.
You would go, who's the most influential player you think at the moment, Dennis? Who would you go for?
Well, actually, I'll just throw a bit of a curveball in here because I noted it down. You know, we had man of the match as being Austin. I had actually Mamo as being a runner there for that because of his excitement and enthusiasm. You know, when the ball went up yesterday for a couple of times, who was the first person chopping at him? It was Mamo, leading from the front. It was almost like, you know, a sergeant major going over the, you know, over the top in the war. It was like, come on, let's get it. Like, and it was like that. So I thought, you know, influential.
Is that what they do in the war? Did they flail around with a hand above their head so they could get shot at? That you just did there, Dennis. Is that what
it's
you did?
Better getting shot in your hand than your head, isn't it? So that's probably something to consider.
When we have spoken to him, and we've had a few messages from Mamo, his punctuation is beautiful. Mm. Him and Steve Anderson had the best punctuation we've ever had on this show.
Yeah.
Now that it came to the
players.
It what? No, nothing to do with players, but just, you know. There we go. It came to the podcast attention that we've received an email from a gentleman called Gareth that reads, after an awful week where I accidentally put sugar in my coffee and had white rice with my curry instead of peeler, it was topped off with the extreme disappointment that there was no tackle bags in the last podcast episode. Please lodge this message as an official complaint and don't do it again. So to cater for Gareth and other minority groups back, even though no one's remotely interested or even bothered, it's time for...
Tackle bags.
You're joking. Not another one? Oh, for God's sake, I can't stand this.
Well, it's thanks to Gareth that this section is as popular as it is. He was obviously one of many, but he helps with me now in terms of my sanity with this section. And as a result, we've still got about another 30 weeks worth of material. So anyway, last time we were looking at rotation and versatility, ensuring that we have a completely fit set of blokes on the pitch as we move through the season under the new format. Yes, the Super League, reacting to this proposal, have now asked the coaches of Super League to consider increasing the number of interchanges allowed in the games. What are you holding up there?
I've just had a news flash. Sorry, you carry on, Dennis.
Okay. Our new proposal is to redefine the specialist positions in the form of attacking and defending lines, like you have in ice hockey, in this new concept play called Player Up Select Strategy Yields. It enables coaches to swap out groups of up to four players counting as one interchange to support the offensive and defensive lines. Increasing the player roster to 12 players on the bench, a coach can exploit the strategy of the game in an instant by bringing the players in and out of the game at will. Now, what do we think of Price's rotation strategy this week? Do you think it was good, bad, indifferent?
I thought it was interesting. I thought that when he was forced into one change, wasn't he, with Sitalecki being on paternity. So it's interesting he chose Kabula rather than Latu. But then also he gave Matt Davis some time, didn't he?
Yes.
Dropping Walker. Now, I've been quite impressed by Walker, but he gave Matt Davis some time.
Yeah. He also gave Matty Ashton about 4 or 5 minutes, didn't he, as well? Really useful. Anyway, everybody else did agree, 79%. This one off Ellipsis Clitoris. I think. Yes, I like it, but does that mean Dick Patton gets another 10 games. If you did a full rotation of the squad, perhaps it does. Maybe not. No, 20%. Elston's wank oven gloves. This is not financially viable. I'm concerned that with all these extra players, the Papa John's deal might fall through with the additional costs of more pizza. So he's not a fan of that. Other 1%. This is off all and bond. Can you rotate this section to the bin? You're a fucking idiot. I'd just like to point out that all on bond is an anagram of Rob London.
Yeah.
Is that you, is it?
Sorry, I'm just... there's news breaking as we're on the podcast. It's but Madam Boyd will be bringing it out later, so don't worry. Carry on. Carry on, Dennis.
Okay. So this week, the weather has turned and clearly we're moving into the autumn. The changing season is again up on us. So that's always going to be an issue, isn't it? For the game is also an issue for our overseas players. You're not listening, are you? What's happened? What have I missed?
Oh, it doesn't matter. Carry on. A player's asked for a release. A player's asked to be released from the club. We'll say no more.
Okay. Oh, it's not the one I'm going to cover now, is it?
I don't know.
You don't know.
Right. So anyway, I was going to start this bit again. This week, the weather has turned and clearly moving into the autumn, the changing season is once upon us again. And the question is, I will hear you asking, how will this affect the games and the players? Well, as you know, will the players play much deeper into the year? It'll be almost winter. So how will this Antipodean players survive? As always on Tackle Bags, we like to get ahead of the game and we're looking to keeping the players warm. We want to introduce a new piece of kit called the vulnerable... no, it's not called anything. it's quite funny doing this when the whole podcast has been thrown into some sense of complete disarray because of some news that Madam Boy is just bringing us. We would like to introduce a new piece of kit to those vulnerable players not looking forward to the cold, dark nights ahead. That's why we've invented the player-integrated zonal zenith acclimatization subsuit. Now, this would
can you
be
say
a
that
special...
again, please, or can I write it down?
Yes, it's player integrated zonal zenith acclimatization subsuit. Now, this is a special subsuit offered to a newly recruited Southern Hemisphere Jesse or an Aussie player, which could help them acclimatize to the British weather. Now, we all know what happened to Tyrone Roberts. The self-contained training subsuit would be controlled from an app from the phone to replicate the weather of their home country, providing the warmth and protection that they're used to. Players could wear these subsuits during training or on the bench. So it's like a large, one of them large training suits that you see often in the game, where the suit would adjust to the temperature of the body, maintaining the player's comfort. These suits could be worn for indoor-outdoor training and look similar to the pizza delivery driver suits. So give out to the lower paid foreign players and the opportunity to hold down a job as a second pizza delivery driver in the local community. So what do you think? I mean, I know you've not been listening, so...
I think this could be the most sensible outfit you've got, but what are they going to look like? They're going to look like a deep-sea diver with a big...
Well, pretty much a padded... Yeah, a padded affair, although we are working on a working prototype for playing the game. I think that's going to be about it. So once Rob London has finished talking to Madam Boyd, I'll be writing this, sending this idea to the leading sports brands like Admiral, Sergio Tacchini, Fila and Buchta. And so if you think that's a good idea...
Cox Sportif.
I'll make a note of that. So, what do you think, Rob?
Time now for Dennis's tackle bags. Okay, Dennis decided in Daniel's last monologue, he wasn't quite opinionated enough and really needed to nail his colours to the mast. One expect Daniel's young age and his lack of female activity that his mast is held up by semen stains. And up there in the crow's nest, masturbates, he's desperately seeking a large vaginal landmass. So it's anchors away as Daniel, our very own Captain Podcasting Pugwash, sets sail to rule the waves as he stops masturbating and mastigates his thoughts over the rule changes. So, right, Sam, you can put your head up now.
I actually think both the new rules that have been implemented in Super League have had a really positive effect in their first few weeks in the game. So starting with the axing of scrums. For me, I've been vocal a couple of times on scrums in the past. I don't really see the point in them, what they bring to the game. They don't add any entertainment value because the scrums aren't contested. I'm no rugby union fan, but at least when you see a scrum in rugby union, there's a little bit of pushing and shoving. Whereas in rugby league, the ball is pushed under the scrum and that's it. We carry on play. So, you know, what's the point? For me, it's just slowing the game down, and it's an archaic, old-fashioned part of the game that I don't think was necessary anymore. So for that to be taken out, I think has helped from a spectacle point of view. But the main change has been the introduction of the six-a-game rule. The stats came out this week and showed that we're having the ball in play far more often than we were pre the shutdown, which is leading to quicker and more exciting games, which is only a good thing, because for any neutrals or anybody new to the sport tuning in at the minute, they're seeing a more exciting and enticing sport than they were previously. So I think the six-a-game rule certainly had a positive impact on the game from a spectator point of view. It's also led to much higher scores, I've found. A lot of the games we're seeing teams score beyond 30 and 40 points, which obviously isn't unusual, but it's happening a little bit more frequently than we perhaps expect. This is perhaps because defences are very tired. They're having to work a lot harder. The stats that I mentioned before, they've also showed that players are having to do more metres and more carries than they were before because the ball is in play for much longer. So this has meant that perhaps defences are a little bit tired towards the end of games, and so the offensive teams are having no problems with scoring plenty of points. We're also seeing a bit of an increase in injuries in the NRL, and I do wonder if this might travel into Super League as well because of the increased workload during the 80 minutes. I would like to see an increase in interchanges to kind of combat this a little bit. It has been mooted on social media this week, so I'll be interested to see if that happens. In terms of a rule for getting that I think would really improve the sport, I thought for a while now that the on-field call of try and no try is a ridiculous thing to do. I think if the referee isn't sure, then that's what the video ref is there for. If he's going to the video ref, it's because he doesn't know whether something's a try or not a try. And so we shouldn't be sending it up there with a preconceived idea that the referee doesn't really know. He's taking a bit of a guess on. And so many times, the video ref could have overturned something and hasn't, because there's not been sufficient evidence to prove the referee wrong. But equally, we can't prove the referee right. One thing that sticks in my mind was James Bentley, I think, scored a try against Salford, a late try last year, which probably wasn't a try, but I think the referee sent it up as a try, and there wasn't quite enough for the video ref to overrule it, and so obviously it got given as a try, and St Helens won that match. For me, I really, really don't like that. The purpose of the video ref is to assist the referee when he's not sure. So let's get rid of the on-field call. If the referee wants to use the video referee, let's send it up there with no judgments beforehand and let the video ref make the decision.
You know, they were all bullshit. Just all made up, isn't it? There was no masturbates and...
Wasn't there?
Semen stains. No.
Yeah. Pug wash means wank in Australian.
It does it?
Daniel, I mean, I wrote to Daniel this week after he sent me his soundbite, and I said, this is the first one I'm not in agreement with you on, mate. We'll start with the scrums. I'm a big fan of scrums. I think scrums need to come back.
Why?
Because, first of all, it holds 10 players together, doesn't it? You've got 10 players that are all together somewhere on the pitch.
12?
And well, if you want to count the scrum halves as well, and you also want to count the... it is 12, isn't it? So,
yes, it is.
I've been thrown by this news.
Yes, well, I don't know what the news is.
I think, Rob, if they were made, and I'm not on about having full contested rugby union style claps in the scrum every 2 minutes, but if they were made to bind properly, then scrums would work a lot better, wouldn't they?
Yeah. The last person to strike at a scrum for Warrington was probably Kevin Ashcroft. And the only player I've ever seen try and get his feet up off the floor since then to try and hook the ball back was the Cumbrian hooker Mark Roskell, the little lad who used to play in the, I think it was the late 80s, early 90s. He did try and get his feet up off the floor. It never kind of worked for him.
But it's not. It's just about retaining those players together, getting those 12 players together. Add a couple more if you want the scrum halves as well, and it gives the backs a chance to throw the ball around. There's been some brilliant tries in the NRL in the last few weeks from the base of the scrum.
Absolutely.
And as we said before, we're giving all that away just so that you can tap the ball, and in front of you, you've got this absolutely perfect line of 13 players that are all spaced evenly out that you're never going to break through. It's entertaining to watch the scrum. That's the reason I bring it back. The six again rule, you've said it before, Sam, that possibly it's a bit of a myth in terms of the meters being made, but we are having a lot more tackles now.
Yeah, I'm in favour completely the six again for those little niggly things that you'd have stopped the game for because someone had a bit of a hand on the ball. I'm hugely in favour of the six again rule.
NRL injuries are mounting. The Roosters, Trent Robinson, and Storm counterpart Craig Bellamy, both suggesting that the new six-a-game rule has contributed to a significant increase with players under more fatigue due to less stoppages in play. Major injuries that require 5 weeks more recovery time are up now 7% since the six-a-game rule has been brought in. I mean, we saw Wakefield are down to the bare bones yesterday. They've got Richard Shorite playing for them next week, so...
Yeah,
something needs to change.
I think the good thing about Daniel, though, is that he definitely responded, didn't he? He definitely nailed his colours to the mast.
You had a good word with him. You had a good word with him.
I think, although I disagree with him about scrums and stuff like that, respect for him putting his idea out there. But one thing he did bring up was about the video ref. And you know what? I am half and half about this, but I actually agree with Daniel, I think, in balance. The reason being, though, and I can see Sam shaking his head, the reason being is that unless you actually then just go back to actually relying on technology, there'll never be any improvement in technology. And you know from when I've done all my tackle bags, using drones and various other technology, you'll never improve because, you know, you're leaving it there. You might as well just say either go with it or not.
I think that sometimes the camera cannot show you, and therefore, what they started years ago when it started, they used to have refs call, didn't they, in Australia, and they soon got rid of that. I am in favour of the try or no try because the referee is effectively saying, if the TV wasn't here, I would be given a try, or I would be saying no try. And all he's asking for is for the TV to confirm he's not made an obvious error.
But technology, mate. You know, that's it. That's what it all down to. Improve what that, and then you won't have to worry about it.
Could do with if they had a chip, some sort of chip in the ball.
Don't start.
No, here we go.
No, that's mine. That's patented. That's it. Listen, do you want me to channel Madam Boyd? Because you're obviously a bit dingy. I can get her in the room if you want me to do it.
No.
We're all good.
Okay.
Points since the lockdown. We've had 54% of the points on average have come since the lockdown, 46% prior to the lockdown. We've also looked at the average points plus or minus since resumption of play compared to pre-lockdown across the teams. Warrington are now up 48% in terms of how many points they're scoring each week. Wigan are down 7%, even though Wigan have been going...
Sorry, we are at 48%. You mean we've increased our point scoring by 48%?
We have, by 48%. Wigan's down 7%. So this is based on the last three games going into lockdown and then the three games we've played since. So it's not much of an array of statistics, is it?
No, we will know more at the end of the season because when you're comparing, what you do actually comparing there is games at the start of the year in February and early March when it was shitty weather. Compared to games when the ground's nice and it's warmer. So you should be scoring more.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, these are the last... When were the last three games? Were they in March?
Yeah, the last week of February and then March.
Yeah. Wigan are down 7%. Saints up 37%. Leeds, even though they've started pretty well, down 85%. They must have had some bloody big wins going into before lockdown.
Well, Castleford down... 40-0 or whatever.
Well, there we go. Castleford down 67%. Everyone else just slightly up. Hull up 20%. Salford up 67%. Catalans 53%. Hull KR 36%. Huddersfield 0. They're absolutely on the same amount of points as they were before.
Predictions. Good afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently, a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
I'll predict Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
Next up, why a take on a COVID-riddled Hull FC. Sam Dennis, do we see us having any difficulties vaccinating against their attack? Or has winning for Warrington become an infectious habit and our metaphorical T-cells will lead us to victory?
You took a while to write that, didn't you?
Took the afternoon off after I wrote that.
I think this is a hard one to predict. We've been good against Hull recently, and our friend Blake loves playing them, usually, but this time it's neutral ground. It's at Headingley, I think, on Friday. And it's hard to know how good they were against Huddersfield, who we struggled to beat, didn't we? But I'm going to go for a Warrington win. I'm going to go for a Warrington win. Because the next couple of games against Hull and against Castleford, if we win both those two games, we're putting a big gap between those teams who might be vying for the fourth place and us.
Well, last week, Sam, you picked your top six that were vying for it as Wigan, Saints, Warrington, Catalans, Leeds and Huddersfield. Are you still going with Huddersfield? Do you think they can still get in?
Well, they can do, but frankly, they seem to flatter to deceive against us, didn't they, when they've subsequently played.
Fallen off a cliff.
Yeah.
I think it's only between six now for the top four. I think it's the six that are in those 1 to 6 positions now. I think it's Wigan, Saints, Warrington, Catalans, Leeds and Castleford. I think they're the only six that are vying for the top four.
It's interesting how Hull will go, though, because Hull are still on 8 points as well.
That's true.
And they've got a new coach, but for years and years and years, they've flattered to deceive, haven't they? So whether anything's actually changed there remains to be seen.
They've lost Mark Snead, though, didn't they, at the weekend? I think he went over on his ankle. He said possibly he might be out for a couple of weeks, so they'll be a bit light around the halves.
And we'll see whether Thanua gets a charge for hitting someone.
Yeah.
Just
so he's probably going to get two. So, yeah, they're going to be a couple of players down.
Are we going to see Ben Murdoch-Masilabat? Are we going to see Gelling back as well? Is he in for contention for a pick?
We're not going to see Ben Murdoch-Masilabat. It's his second. He's got another match to serve. Gelling's the interesting one. I don't know. He doesn't convince me, and yet I know Steve Price's record is to go for a big, strong guy rather than the smaller, faster guy. They've got a huge centre, obviously, in Griffin. So whether he goes for someone stronger up against Griffin, interesting. We'll see.
One thing that we're not really picking up any injuries, are we? I mean, you mentioned Chris Hill had a bit of a limp, but compared to other teams who are really struggling now, we seem to be in quite a good position there. And we've got a lot of depth as well, or you know, mediocre depth, players that can come in.
Yeah, we've got a lot of bench cover, haven't we? I don't think we've got much first team strike player cover, but in terms of cover from the bench, we seem to have a lot there with Davis and Walker, Sitalecki, Mamo, Ashton.
Latu.
Who?
Yeah, exactly. Dennis? Who are we going for, mate?
I think Warrington will win this. I don't think there'll be an issue with Hull. I think it'll just be another one of those walkovers.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Confidence.
So what about you, Rob?
Sorry, it's all going on my phone. I'll go for Warrington. I think we'll just about sneak it. Although Hull are in form. You know, I didn't see the game the other night, but I think, you know, Hull are certainly coming good, as Sam said, so... If that's what Sam said, I don't know if he did. He say that? Yeah, he did.
No idea.
So, did you? I'm on medication at the moment.
Oh, stop making excuses, you lightweight.
I'll go Warrington.
It's a grit.
I'll go Warrington win. Okay, that's it for another week. You know what to do, motherfuckers. Tweet to @WhatBevan.
What's there any need for that?
Email to whatbevan@gmail.com, or if your idea of a trip to the Lake District is just venturing no further into the beautiful national park than Bowness or Windermere, there's always Facebook. So from a man not too dissimilar to York, in that he's symbolically encompassed by a wall of statistics fortified by his factual drawbridge. Until next week, it's a moat-filled romantic farewell from Sam.
All the best.
And he may not be quite as magnificent as York Minster, but soon to be administered by his daily dose of medieval medication, it's a cathedral now from Dennis.
A single.
I'm Rob London. I'm off to complete my tapestry of the shambles, which is quite appropriate, really, due to this shitty shambolic podcast. You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say?
Why are you fraternising with Madam Boyd? What's going on?
I've got to go, Dennis. I've got to speak to the Sun newspaper.